steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, May 14th, 2026. At 10 a.m., State Senator Dora Drake, she represents the good people of the 4th Senate District in the state of Wisconsin. She's going to be calling in and giving her perspective on why she voted no on the surplus spending bill that we discussed at great length and great detail yesterday. Senator Drake, along with 17 of her colleagues in the Wisconsin State Senate, I believe they did the right thing in voting this spending bill down. And I did my level best yesterday to try and give all of the specifics as to why it was a bad idea. And I think some people only heard a tax rebate, and it's a modest tax rebate. It was $300 that an individual filer would have received and $600 for married couples. And in these economic times where everything is more expensive, any kind of relief is good, especially people that are looking at the short term. But ultimately, those checks, those $300 and $600 checks would have created a much more durable long-term problem. A few people went a little bit deeper and they said, oh, there's $600+ million for schools and school funding. You know, our schools need more resources. Not just here in Milwaukee, but all over the state, and whoever turns down school funding. And that's usually a winning political issue because we have not had a school referendum fail in the city of Milwaukee, I don't think ever. Now, if we have another one anytime soon, I think the trajectory might be different. But usually when you say you want to fund schools and provide more resources for special education, that's going to be a political winner. But there's something real specific that they did with that special education funding that would have created a deficit in the future, and it would not have fixed a structural problem with how we fund our schools. There was also some talk of property tax relief. You notice the things in the bill that were communicated were all the things that most of us have been complaining about recently. A lot of us here in the city of Milwaukee got our property tax bills. Pretty much every piece of property was assessed higher. And so that means you're going to be paying a higher property tax amount at the end of the year. And then also the share of the school referendum that passed, I think that was in 2024. Well, that appeared on our property tax bills as well. So when you hear this surplus money that we have And then there's property tax relief, and there's funding for schools, and then there's a $300 individual rebate for you and $600 for married couples. Well, hell, what's to not like about that? Everything. You know, I wasn't really a fan of Tony Evers in the beginning, but I will say this about the two terms that he has served. He has been reasonable. He has been reliable. He's not fancy. He's not flashy. He gets the work done. He's not some, you know, great speaker. He doesn't inspire people when he gives speeches. Hell, at the DNC, when he was announcing Wisconsin's delegation supporting Kamala Harris, he could barely get that sentence out. So he's not what I would call an ambitious political superstar. He was just your middle of the road, steady at the helm, quintessential high school principal, just real folksy, real Wisconsin-y. And he did all sorts of things and provided resources and opportunities for African-American businesses, unlike any other governor I had seen. And so for that, great. It was a simple task to book him on this show. If we ever had questions or concerns, or if he wanted to share something with us, I could get Tony Evers booked within like 10 minutes. There's City of Milwaukee officials that it would take a week. So he's always been accessible. He's never ignored our community, which is very easy for a governor to do, especially when you have to deal with 1,850 other cities and towns. So for all of those things, I give this dude a solid B minus. But this piece of legislation knocks his grade down to a C minus, because here's the thing. What they attempted to do with this bill, and I'm glad the Democrats actually read it and saw through it. Two men that are not going to ever be in public office ever again wanted to spend money that Wisconsin needs in its bank account, because a recession is either here or it's coming. Meaning state income and sales tax revenues are going to go down, but the things that we are going to need to fund in Wisconsin are going to increase, and so are the costs of those things because we're dealing with inflation. I mean, hell, we're building a youth prison. You can't cut surplus money when you're still building things. We probably have deferred maintenance at 10 or 11 UW campuses. All that stuff has to get taken care of, and to the best of my knowledge, we still have lead pipes bringing water into thousands of homes in the state of Wisconsin. Now, that bill didn't address that. What this was, it was a legacy piece. Robin Voss and Tony Evers are not running for re-election, and they will likely never run for public office ever again. So why not go out with a bang? Let's say that when we left office, we gave people a tax rebate. We did some school funding stuff. And we gave you some checks. It was just a bad idea. It wasn't even about fixing the problems that we have. It's about leaning on something that they can say that they did when they were in their final moments of their last political terms of their lives. I want to explain the school funding part, because I want us to be very, very clear on this. And just in case, because we're still going to have to deal with whoever the next governor is. And whatever the next Wisconsin state legislature looks like, they're going to want to play with this money, too. Here's what shocked me. So this was mostly a Republican proposal because it had a lot of Donald Trump, big, beautiful bill line items in this particular piece of legislation. But Tom Tiffany, who is likely going to be the Republican nominee for governor of Wisconsin, he didn't even like the bill. And this was something that Robin Voss, for the most part, and his caucus in the Wisconsin State Assembly came up with. But if you have your Republican candidate for governor who's against the bill, and I understand why Tom Tiffany is against the bill, because Tom Tiffany, when he looks in the mirror, he sees the next governor of Wisconsin. When I look at Tom Tiffany, I see something different. I see an old white guy that needs to retire and go up to Minocqua and just go fishing. That's what I see. But when Tom Tiffany looks in the mirror, he sees Governor Tiffany. He believes he's going to be governor. So if he gets elected, which don't let him get elected, y'all, seriously. He's going to want to spend that money how he is going to want to spend it. He's going to want to walk into the governor's office with a several billion dollar surplus so that he has the opportunity to squander it. So let's say, if you look at all the schools in Wisconsin, because we as state taxpayers are responsible for educating the children of this state, it is an investment that we make in them so that we can be assured that we have a workforce tomorrow. It's very simple. It's not personal. And some of you, oh, I love the children. We have to give them all the money. Okay, you can feel that way. But this is much more a business sentiment than it is anything emotional. We want to make sure that young people have the best education possible, that we are making the best investments in them so that they can go out, be productive in the workforce, so when we retire, we'll have people that are working because they got a great education here in Wisconsin because we invested in their education when they were wee little tots, so that when we retire, this generation currently, and some of you are retired, we have people that can get gainful employment and pay into Social Security. That's why you invest in kids. That's why you invest in school. And we want them to stay out of jail, and we want them to buy houses and have happy families. That's all secondary. We need them to get a skill set and a knowledge base because we invested in their education early. We encouraged their learning, and they can go out and get jobs and pay into Social Security. Real simple. Let's say we figured out a better way to educate people, children, K-12 children in the state of Wisconsin. And let's say we have, and this is probably true, we have a larger number of children that are deemed special needs or special education. And they're a little bit more expensive to educate because they, in fact, need certain things that may not be available in the regular school curriculum. Hear me out. Let's say it's going to cost us another $500 million a year to better educate with new ideas and new formulas. We have, you know, new ways in which we can have special education children get a very good education, but it's going to be a little more expensive. You got to hire more teachers. You got to have more specialized teachers. You might have to have programs at different UW schools that specializes in helping children with special needs. You see where I'm going? So it's going to cost us an additional $500 million a year to educate the special needs population of children we have in the state of Wisconsin. $500 million every single year, plus all the other school funding. What this bill would have done is it would have given the schools a one-time payment of $500 million. They would have taken it and used it for the special ed, but then next year, they don't have the $500 million that they're going to need. Now, remember, this is a structural problem. We're going to need $500 million every year. This bill would have been a one-time payment of $500 million, but then we would have to figure out where we're going to get the next $500 million from in the future. This would just plug a temporary hole. It would not create a new $500 million funding mechanism. So for those that think, oh, it was a bad idea to vote this down because we're not going to be able to fund the schools. No, we still have to figure out how to fund the schools. We just can't give them a one-time payment because that's going to create a deficit. Because once you give the schools that $500 million, they're going to expect it every single year. And if they don't get it, if we don't raise taxes, then a lot of those teachers are going to have to get laid off, and that's not fair to the children. So that's just like how deep and how granular this whole thing gets. Got a few other things I want to talk to you guys about today. They're thinking about building a data center at Midtown. Oh, no, not a data center. Oh, no, not you taking pictures of your food and taking pictures of yourself in the mirror naked because you just want to see how you look. Well, guess what? All those photographs need to get stored somewhere. It's going to be a controversial topic. And what I also think is going to happen is there are going to be a whole bunch of people that are not from Milwaukee. They're going to weigh in on the debate and the public testimony on whether they should build this data center at Midtown or not. In fact, that is the YouTube question of the day, because you know we got to ask you a question every day. Do you support building a data center at Midtown? So where the Walmart is, 160,000 square feet, it's doing nothing. It's just sitting there. Nothing's in there. And there's this thing called the dark store loophole. Walmart lobbied for this. When a Walmart is open and functioning, let's say they pay $50,000 a month in property taxes. Might be more. But while Walmart is open, that's how much they're paying. When a Walmart decides to close, They still have ownership of the building, but the Walmart has left. It's closed. All the employees were either moved to other Walmarts or they lost their jobs. Walmart, they still own the building now. Building is the same size. Now, there's no economic activity going on in the building because that Walmart has closed, like Midtown. So the dark store loophole means Walmart is no longer responsible for what they owe in property taxes, which is $50,000 a month. Once they close the Walmart, they get a discount on their property taxes. So instead of paying $50,000 a month, which is what they should pay for the building, for the facility, for the square footage, for the infrastructure, like all that stuff has to be maintained, right? So they close. Those people lose their jobs. The income that was being generated from those employees, that's all gone. That's left the neighborhood. But Walmart gets a discount on their property taxes. So instead of paying $50,000 a month, they're only paying $10,000 a month while the building is open. And then Walmart may refuse to sell it or lease it to another company or another business that would resume that $50,000 in property tax payments. So guess who's on the hook for the other $40,000 that Walmart doesn't have to pay because they have a dark store loophole? We do. Something's got to go in Midtown now. I'm telling you, we don't have a lot of options. So we'll talk about that as well. I got a lot of stuff. Chud the Builder was arrested and he's being charged with attempted murder. We were just talking about dude yesterday. Oh my, how quickly things change. And so I'm going to read his story because that actually got more traction than I thought it would. There was a handful of people in the Hughes Views Facebook group that were commenting on Chud the Builder. I was like, well, since this is a topic that you all want to hear more about, I did a thing. I wrote a bill based on how extreme some of these people, how far they're willing to go in filming extreme content for social media. And a lot of it is dangerous. A lot of it is reckless. You know that people have died trying to make viral content? I'm a nerd. I'm a lot of things, but a nerd is probably way up there. I was like, well, we need a bill to curtail or to de-incentivize these people that are willing to put themselves and others in danger for the intention and the explicit purpose of filming viral content. And my motivation was, okay, think about what you heard on the radio in the 1940s or 50s, or even the 1960s. Think about what talk radio may have been in the 1950s or 1960s, what people would say. It was very calm. It was very tame. Look at what we say now. Just one phone call from Al would have gotten any radio station completely banned. It would have lost their FCC license in 1961. As time goes on, things get more extreme. Music has gotten more extreme. The music that people are listening to right now, especially in hip hop, not just hip hop, other genres as well, very extreme and very explicit. As time goes on, things get more severe. The viral content that people are trying to film and record and live stream in order to make money is getting more extreme. We have to curtail it. So I wrote a piece of legislation. Will it ever become a law? I don't know. But I'm going to share that with you as well. And hopefully I'll find some agreement on a piece of legislation that yours truly wrote. I got this other thing I want to ask the ladies too. I got a lot I got to talk about today. And Senator Drake is calling in at 10. Ladies, do you get creeped out when a man you don't know, you've never met him before, you're just meeting him for the first time, and I'm going to do you one better. You're meeting a man in a professional setting. It's a board meeting. It's some kind of meeting. It's professional. And he works at for the same company, but maybe in another city, and him and his colleagues are in town. And he's heard about you, and maybe you have worked with this man virtually. You work with his staff virtually. When this man who you don't know personally, but you know him professionally, when he meets you for the first time and he reaches out his arms to hug you, do you hug him back? That's a specific question for the ladies, because I want to talk about that at some point if I don't run out of show. Does it creep you out, ladies, in a professional setting? This is not personal. This is not a friend introducing you to another friend. This is a business setting. This is a boardroom. It's a professional colleague of yours. And if they're meeting you for the first time in person, this man stretches his arms out to hug you as a form of a greeting. Do you find that creepy? Think about that. I'm going to take a break, come back, continue our chit chat. Going to talk about what happened to Chud the Builder. He's He shot himself, shot somebody else. He's in the hospital, and he's also been arrested and charged. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Our phone number, if you're so inclined, questions, comments, recipe ideas, advice of any sort, unsolicited especially, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. I'm going to tackle a bunch of topics today. I'm usually very ambitious at the beginning of the show, but as the show goes on, you know, we get distracted a little bit. Going to try not to be distracted today. Yesterday, we talked about this dude, and I just found out about him recently because I think that my side of social media doesn't show content that is likely viewed, shared, liked, and commented on by people under 40. So I just don't see it. And one thing about today's world, we used to have a monoculture. A monoculture was everybody got the Michael Jackson album. Everybody, you know, watched Prince when he did Friday Night Videos. Everybody saw that episode of The Cosby Show, right? Everybody saw whatever movie was playing that was all the rage. Now, we're so individualized, and the content that we view, that we choose to view, and the algorithms that are made up of our likes, our clicks, and our shares are very different than the person who's even sitting next to us. Even the person who is in the same demographic category is going to see different things in their social media feeds. And so someone will say, oh, Sherwin, did you see that latest Chud the Builder video? Had somebody said that to me like on Monday or Tuesday, I wouldn't even know what the hell they were talking about. Because the kind of content that he makes is not, it's not my preference. Right. So I saw something. I think it was a video of an older content creator that isn't my algorithm, and they brought this guy up, Chud the Builder, and then I found out about it. I found out about what he does. And he has a camera, and he's live streaming with a cell phone or whatever he's using to record or live stream. And he's a white guy, and he's based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And he finds groups of African-American men, sometimes black women, but mostly black men, and he calls them the N-word. While recording their reaction, he's doing this while live streaming. This is not some like grand philosophical discussion on the N-word. It's not that. It's the fact that he does that and nothing, there's no consequence. And you would think, because when we have our discussions about white people using the N-word, or if we, like the lady who was on HGTV who said the N-word while she was being recorded for a show, and then we had a fit and we canceled her. The common perception is if a Caucasian person, for any reason, says the N-word, you're done, it's over, you're canceled, your safety is in jeopardy. That is what I think we have projected as a consequence as an African-American community. It doesn't even matter how the white person, especially a white celebrity, uses the N-word, even if they're not a celebrity. If we just a random white person saying the N-word, we're going to cancel you. We're going to tell your employer and we're going to boycott the company you work for. And it's usually pretty effective if you want to get a single person removed from their employment. And so what Chud the Builder did is he showed that if you actually call black men the N-word in their face in person and record them and stream them, they don't do anything. They talk a lot. They make a lot of threats. They say stuff like, oh, yeah, well,
I bet you won't come back here tomorrow at 9:30. Oh, yeah. Well, I bet you won't go to my neighborhood and say that. And he's saying it right there to their faces. And it's so embarrassing because I think it puts a hole in this fear apparatus that we created, which keeps a lot of white people from saying the N-word. And Chud the Builder is basically saying, oh, yeah, you can call them N-words when they don't do anything. You can say they're chimping out and they still don't do anything. And here's the thing. He's got a pistol in his pocket when he says this. So he's not just going around saying the N-word. He's got a pistol in his pocket and he will draw and he will shoot you if you attack him. So what that is, and he's made it clear that he's trying to incite racial violence. Okay. Which you got to hear me out now. If an incident of violence occurs, because he has made it clear, like all the testimony, like dude is going to prison. The testimony that they need to put him away, he's recorded it all, like all the evidence they need. So here's the thing. You can't incite violence. That's a federal crime. Can't do it. It's very bad. If my intent and I communicate my intent to incite violence and I do something that actually incites violence, I'm guilty of inciting violence. But here's why he had not been charged heretofore. Because nobody ever challenged him because they didn't want to get shot. When I close my eyes, conceptualize this in my mind. If there's a group of African-American men who may be unarmed, and they are embarrassed and humiliated by being called the N-word on live stream, I don't think you guys appreciate how exceptionally easy it is for five people to disarm one person. Most people that are not like military or at least police trained to carry a firearm can be disarmed in a second. But none of that ever happened. Well, an incident took place yesterday. A live streamer known for posting controversial videos using racial slurs is facing multiple charges, including attempted murder, after a shooting in front of a Tennessee courthouse on Wednesday, officials said. The shooting happened during a confrontation between Dalton Etherly, who goes by Chud the Builder online, and another man who authorities have not identified outside the Montgomery County Courthouse in Clarksville, Tennessee. The Tennessee District Attorney's Office said both men were shot and taken to nearby hospitals when they were in stable condition, where they were in stable condition as of early Wednesday morning, according to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. It is unclear how the shooting unfolded or what led up to it. Oh, I think you know what led up to it. In addition to attempted murder, Etherly, age 28, was charged with employing a firearm during a dangerous felony, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon, the sheriff's office said in a statement. So I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to grab a telephone call from Patrick. But I need you to think about this. They're going to make an example out of this guy because this country does not need someone like him where racial tensions are already high to incite violence in order for viral content. And I actually wrote a bill to curtail this. I'm going to read you guys the bill I wrote in a little while. I think this guy's going to go to prison. Will he go to prison for 30 or 40 years? He will not. But here's the rich irony of this. If he goes to prison, especially it might be a state penitentiary in Tennessee. Oh, I don't know, 65, 70, 75% of the inmates will be black. So Chud the Builder, you're still going to call them niggas? When you in the cell, what about chow time, Chud? What about in the shower? Yeah. Come on, Chud, when you was out on the streets, you was calling us niggas. Say it now. Say it loud, say it proud, Chud. Yeah, buddy. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
(833) 212-1017. Let's talk to a patiently waiting Patrick. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to commend every black person that ran into that guy down in Tennessee, Chet the Builder. Back in the day, we used to call it, don't let nobody knock you off your square. I think the young folks call it today, crashing out. So you come in contact with somebody like this, don't let them knock you off your square. Don't go crashing out on them. I got a family to go home to. I got kids to go home to. And we standing outside of a bar, and the big white boy walking around with a camera filming me, calling me nigger. He wants me to crash out. We know how this ends. He's got a gun. He's going to shoot me. There are going to be protests. He's going to get off. We done seen this story before. And he wants you to crash out. So every black man that chose to say their piece and get into an argument back and forth, but at the end of the day, they just walked away. They walked away back home to their family. They went home to their wife that night. They woke up to their kids the next morning. But if you chose to crash out with them and do something stupid, we get nowhere doing that. So I commend every black person that chose to walk away them nights, standing outside of a bar as he walk around with the camera and say, you chimping out or calling you the N-word and all this and that.
That's a fair point, Patrick, because it does take a high level of discipline and maturity to keep your cool. And you know how we can be. We can be very short fused. I don't think most people that carry a firearm, especially if you're trying to, you're doing a stunt for shock and awe purposes, even though it's much more than that because it's deeply offensive and a whole bunch of other things. If you're leaning on the fact that you have a firearm for you to do something disrespectful and offensive, you ain't no real killer. And I think that you can outsmart somebody like that, because at some point we gotta tell them they can't kick us around. Because here's what I don't need. A whole bunch of other white boys and a whole bunch of other cities and towns trying to emulate dude. That's why I wrote a bill. If somebody can make money off calling us the N-word. Now, right now, black people make money off of it because it's in the music. But that's different. No, that's different. Slow down. We can do that. They can't. I don't want his actions and his viral content to be enticing to some other person to where they want to monetize racial slurs against black people. I mean, no good can come of it. And clearly no good is coming of it, because he did. Listen, he shot himself, which means he ain't no shooter. Have y'all ever met a killer before? I probably shouldn't admit this, but no, you probably have. They are some of the most intensely serious and focused people you will likely ever meet, because there's something that's in them that I hope is not in most of us. Killers don't brag about having guns. Like, real killers see it as survival and a necessary evil. Heavy emphasis on the necessary. Killers know that guns ain't nothing to play with. You don't act a fool. You don't bring attention to yourself. You don't intentionally put eyeballs on your actions and stand on the fact, well, I've got a gun. Because a lot of times the gun can't help you and it can't save you. And so how I know that he's not an actual killer, he's not a shooter. Rule number one when drawing your weapon, don't shoot yourself. Do you know, you guys ever seen these? There's these shooting competitions. You probably can watch them on YouTube, where these folks will draw a firearm in less than a second, hit a target 6 times, and holster that weapon. Like, all told, it takes less than like 6 or 7 seconds. Do you know for how many hours people practice their draw? Because in a moment's notice, when you need to pull your gun, it's a split second decision. You can't risk what's called hanging,
You're reaching for your pistol, and uh-oh, it's caught on your shirt. Oh, no, it's caught on your belt buckle. Oh, no, it's caught on your pants pocket. You're dead. The amount of time that you have to spend perfecting your draw is literally insane. It's almost like a part-time job. He wasn't a killer. I don't want copycats of this, because some people, as most people that he came in contact with, Chud the Builder we're talking about, who's facing a whole host of felony charges because he did draw his weapon in front of a Tennessee courthouse. He shot someone. He also shot himself in the process. And this, obviously, this story is more popular with people than I thought, because I never really heard of this dude before. I'm kind of glad I didn't. But then when I talked about it yesterday, there's a lot of interest in this particular story. And how ironic, right? The first time I'm hearing about this guy, and I'm talking about what he does, calling black people the N-word and live streaming their reactions, which is egregious and offensive and disrespectful. However you feel about it, it's just not something that we need in our society right now. But then at the same time, you know what I hear more than anything else from white folks that are vocal, that listen to the show? Some white folks listen and like, oh, that's interesting. I never knew that stuff. Some white folks say, Sherwin, why are you so divisive? You're supposed to use your platform to bring us together. Like, that's my responsibility, but you would never put that same responsibility on white podcasters and white talk show hosts. It's always white folks. It's when I'm making sense. And white folks sometimes feel guilty that I'm making sense. And they say, Sherwin, you're so divisive. Sherwin, you're racist. Them is a stupid white folk. And they'll say, Sherwin, you need to use your platform to bring us together. Then why don't y'all put a lid on all of your different incarnations of Chud the Builders? Because white folks, you got a whole bunch of them in your community. So you want me to use my platform to bring us together, but you won't stop or even speak out against it. Where are the white folks that are saying, hey, you know what? This isn't nice that this guy is doing that. So I've always taken great offense to that, because white folks will never do anything to shut down the worst of their worst. Chud the Builder has been booked into the Montgomery County Jail and will be held until his arraignment. The sheriff's office added, CNN is working to determine if Etherly, which is his real name, has legal representation. Etherly live streamed himself speaking to first responders after the incident. Ain't that crazy? Dude shoots himself and he's still recording. Etherly live streamed himself speaking to first responders after the incident, saying, quote, I had to defend myself by shooting him. I'm glad he shot himself, because he should be defending himself from his own mouth. He recounted walking past the man who, among others, were, quote, laughing and pointing at me. After approaching them, Etherly said the unidentified man told him to walk away before coming back to him, saying, I have PTSD. He said, you start saying all that chimp out sugar honey iced tea to me and I'm going to hit you. And he hit me. He started wailing on me, Etherly said in the video. The streamer has several videos online in which he refers to black people as chimps and the N-word. Quote, it's unfortunate that incidents like this are happening in our community. Montgomery County Sheriff John Fewson said in the statement, this kind of violence won't be tolerated, and our office will work to make sure those responsible are held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I want to share with you a piece of legislation that I wrote. You're not going to find it anywhere else on the internet. I wrote it. That discourages and penalizes particular types of dangerous, offensive, and egregious content filmed and streamed and recorded for the sole purpose of going viral and to monetize that dangerous kind of content. I'll read my bill on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
But with some degree of certainty, my
I think this is a very dangerous trend that the law has not yet caught up to. And the thing about the internet and technology and how fast it moves, government moves slow. So we'll realize there's a problem, like, oh, this is something that's happening. Let's say, oh, I don't know, reckless driving. And people will be hurt, cars totaled, property damage. Some people are afraid to drive. Insurance costs go up. And the public will complain about it incessantly, but you won't see legislation or funding for more traffic enforcement, for better engineered roads to slow vehicles down. And then, of course, more education for drivers. You may not see that for years, but the issue of reckless driving really started to rear its ugly head during the pandemic, and then it got worse, worse, and worse. And then by 2022, 2023, you start to see the bump outs. And here's what's crazy. So it's taken so long to create the engineering and the bump outs and narrowing lanes. And what used to be two lanes is now a bike lane and a single lane of traffic. And you got cones and pylons and all sorts of things. The reckless drivers have now gotten used to this new engineering. And they still can continue to drive recklessly. In fact, it's probably even more dangerous now because they have to avoid pedestrians, other vehicles, and then some of the bump outs and the other things and obstacles that have been put on roads. I always thought it was a bad idea to create a bike lane to narrow the traffic lane, because now if people actually use the bike lanes, which I often think are like a sign of gentrification, once you see a bike lane coming in, here come the white folks. But now I think it puts bikers at risk as well, because I don't know about you, but I have seen plenty of people content to drive recklessly using the bike lane like it's another driving lane. I said all that to say we have an opportunity to get out ahead of just some of this really insane viral filming of terrible things, especially when people go out and commit pranks. The Responsible Digital Amplification and Public Harm Reduction Act. It's got to have a lot of words in it. This act shall be known and may be cited as the Responsible Digital Amplification and Public Harm Reduction Act. Section 2, legislative findings and purpose. Modern social media platforms are capable of amplifying content to millions of users within minutes. Viral digital content has, in some areas, contributed to public panic, organized harassment, dangerous intimidation behavior, disinformation campaigns, incitement of violence, ding, 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 reputational destruction without due process, and substantial threats to public safety. Existing civil and criminal laws do not adequately address intentional acts designed to exploit algorithmic amplification for harmful purposes. That's what needs to be made illegal, because people will use the defense of, oh, I was just filming content. I didn't know it was going to get that bad. It is your intention for things to go bad. That is the whole plan that some of these individuals have. I want to go and play a prank, or I have a firearm on me while I'm calling somebody racial slurs, and I'm going to record their reaction, and I'm going to put it on the internet, and I'm going to make money off of that. Why don't we see this as a really bad idea? Because we've criminalized less. I remember when marijuana was illegal. Well, technically, it still is. This has the potential to be much more dangerous, because all it takes is a whole nother generation of young people to want to be the next Chud the Builder, and they may even go further. And I was recalling just even in my lifetime, what you see on television, the words they can use now, you couldn't even use in the 1980s. Music, the lyrics of the music now compared to what you all were listening to in the 1960s. Bob Dylan had a song about drugs. But in the 1960s, you couldn't talk about drugs and get radio play. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. He's like, I need some drugs. Tambourine Man is the dope dealer. Now you got songs with Molly Percocet. I snorted a Molly. I put the Molly in my butthole. I snorted and I snorted. Took the drugs. I sip a lean. I be on the lean. I drink the lean. I drink it. I get high. I drink SERPs. I drink scissorps. Couldn't say that a long time ago. So as time goes on, things get more extreme and someone will be influenced by a Chud the Builder and do something even more extreme. That is why this legislation is needed. And this legislation ain't going nowhere. It should. I suppose I could run for office on this platform. But then somebody would probably get a camera, put it in my face, call me the N-word, and live stream me punching them in the face, and I would end my campaign the day that it started. Existing civil and criminal laws do not adequately address intentional acts designed to exploit algorithmic amplification for harmful purposes. The state has a compelling interest in protecting public safety while preserving constitutional protections for lawful speech and journalism. The purpose of this act is to establish narrowly tailored criminal penalties for intentionally creating or distributing viral digital content that causes demonstrable and substantial harm. Means digital media, including text, audio, video, live stream, memes, images that receive more than 500,000 views, shares, impressions, or engagements within a 30-day period, or is algorithmically amplified by digital platforms to a mass audience. Digital platform defined as means any website, application, or online service that allows users to create, distribute, and share such content. Violation shall be punishable by imprisonment for not more than 3 years, a fine exceeding $100,000 or both. For an aggravated offense, a violation in this act shall be punishable by imprisonment for not more than 10 years, a fine not exceeding $500,000 or both. In addition to criminal penalties, courts may order removal of the content, forfeiture of all money and proceeds raised by the content, restitution to all victims, mandatory public corrections, and temporary restrictions on monetized platform activity. If this bill was in existence in the state of Tennessee, then Chud the Builder would be charged with, you know, drawing a firearm in commission of a felony, reckless endangerment, and the violation of this bill, which seeks to criminalize people that film that kind of content that can be a great grave threat to the public. Take a break, come back. Going to talk to State Senator Dora Drake about her no vote on the surplus bill. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.